The other week on Ash Wednesday, we had a service here at lunchtime, and then another one in the evening where people could come and receive ashes. But we realized that not everyone would be able to make it to one of those services. Some people's work schedules forced them to go into the city early, come back late. So originally I decided that we would take ashes over to the Devon train station and give them to whoever wanted them on their way into work. You know, it's kind of, if you can't come to church, we'll bring the church to you. So we got there early in the morning so that we could catch multiple trains taking people into the city. We had a little sign explaining what we were doing, and we wore our stoles so that we would look somewhat official, not just like random people out there smearing ashes on people's faces. We stood outside on the platform, kind of off to the side, and we smiled at people as they came by, said good morning, we tried to be engaging and proactive without being pushy. The crowd on the platform starts growing and growing as it gets closer to departure time. We're waiting for the train to come, and we could see some of the people gathering there. They're kind of glancing over at us, trying to figure out what we're doing. And then all of a sudden the train pulls up, a swarm of people rush onto the train. The next thing we know, the train pulls away, our sign blows over, everyone is gone, the platform is empty, and we're standing there like, okay, I guess nobody wanted any ashes this morning. So we waited for the next train. And as we stood there, I'm looking around at the people who were coming in and gathering, and I was struck by how many people didn't even look over at us. Like, even when we said good morning to people, they'd be rushing by with their ear pods in, looking at their phones, or just looking at the ground. Didn't look at us, didn't look at each other. They stand there waiting, they rush onto the train, and they're off. They were singularly focused on getting to work. But one woman stopped. She came over to Ridgely and she said, "May I?" And Ridgely made the sign of the cross on her forehead and said to her, "You are dust, and to dust you shall return. But today you are alive, so live for God." And I stood there watching this quiet, sacred moment. And it was like the rush around us just stopped. And there on that train platform, God was present. Last Sunday, we looked at a story from Luke's gospel where Jesus sets his face to Jerusalem. That's what the text says. He sets his face to go to Jerusalem. He fixes his gaze on the city of Jerusalem, makes it the goal of his journey, and he does not turn his face away from that goal. He focuses on it, does not let anything or anyone keep him from getting there. And the next 10 chapters, almost half of Luke's gospel, is the story of Jesus traveling to Jerusalem, traveling to his death. And Luke keeps reminding us of that. There are these constant reminders throughout the gospel that'll say things like, Jesus went through one town after another and made his way to Jerusalem. Or, on the way to Jerusalem, this thing happened. And so throughout Lent, we are going to be looking at some of those things that happened to Jesus on his way to Jerusalem. We talked last week about how Jesus' focus can teach us something about focusing our own lives and faith. That we need to set our faces and be intentional about our faith, and how Lent is a season where we can do that. We can examine our lives, we can get rid of the things that are keeping us from following Christ, and bring in practices that will help us follow Christ. Because Jesus is inviting us to join him on this journey to resurrection and new life. What can happen, though, is that we can get so focused that we end up missing out on life. Like those people on the train platform rushing to work, singularly focused on getting there, not even noticing that God was in our midst. And I've been guilty of that plenty of times. I'm not just criticizing them. It happens to all of us. We get so caught up in what we have to do, where we're going, that we miss the whole point of this journey. Jesus sets his face to go to Jerusalem, but today we find him at the home of Mary and Martha. Now, while both women lived there, Martha, it says, welcomed Jesus into their home. She was the hostess. And as the hostess, she is running around getting the food ready, getting the house straightened up, making sure everyone has enough to drink, making sure everyone's comfortable, making sure everything is going smoothly. She was distracted, it says, by her many tasks. But Mary sat at Jesus' feet and listened to what he was saying. I mean, how would you feel if you were welcoming Jesus into your home? This is the Son of God, the Lord. Everything has to be perfect. So there is a lot to do, and the person who lives in the house with you is just sitting around not helping. So Martha goes to Jesus and says, Lord, she has left me to do everything by myself. Tell her to help me. And Jesus says to her, Martha, Martha. It's like he has to say her name twice to get her to stop and pay attention. You are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her. And when Jesus says that she is worried and distracted by many things, the word that's used there for worried comes from a Greek word that means to separate or divide into many parts. So Jesus is saying to Martha, you are split. Your mind is divided among all these different things. But you only need to focus on one thing, that which Mary has chosen. And what is this better part that Mary has chosen? She is sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to him. To be at someone's feet was an ancient expression that meant you learned from them, you were taught by them, you were submitting yourself to them and receiving what they had to give you. Paul talks in his letters about being brought up at the feet of Gamaliel, this famous rabbi who served as Paul's mentor. You would literally sit at your teacher's feet and look up to them and just soak in everything that they were saying. So it's not that Mary is doing nothing, just sitting around on her phone while Martha does all the work. Mary is actively listening, learning, growing, receiving from Christ. She is focused on him, while Martha is divided and all over the place. Martha's so focused on all these other things she has to do that she's not focused at all. She's lost sight of the reason she's doing these things in the first place, because of Jesus. And that's why she's making all these preparations. It's for him. So she's running around doing all these things to get ready for Jesus, and yet she's neglecting Jesus. So Jesus is in effect saying to Martha, look, you need to focus. You need to slow down and stop and be here with me. We can all get so focused on a goal or a task or a destination that we forget to enjoy the journey, the process of getting there. We can get so focused on getting through each day that we forget to enjoy the people around us, to laugh and love and learn, to notice and savor the ways that Christ is present among us right now. So what Jesus reminds us of here is that sometimes on this journey, we need to stop. And we need to focus in such a way that it helps us be present, to be here now. I came across a proverb this past week about beavers and bees. It goes like this. From beavers, bees should learn to mind their ways. A bee works, a beaver works and plays. Right? From beavers, bees should learn to mind their ways. A bee works, a beaver works and plays. The idea being, of course, that we can't get so focused on work and tasks and doing that we forget to enjoy life. So we need to balance work with play. And that is really important. God did not create us to just work, work, work until we die. It's like it says in the Westminster Confession of Faith, the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy God forever. Enjoy God. We are here to enjoy. But I think what Jesus is doing here is about more than just play. This isn't just Jesus saying, you need to take a break and rest and enjoy life. There are a whole lot of other places in Scripture that call us to do that. What Jesus is doing here is saying, you need to focus on me. You need to sit at my feet and learn from me and receive what I have to give you. And so the question for us is, in our rush to get things done, to get through each day, to get from one thing to the next, are we taking time to listen to Jesus? Are we being present with him, learning from him, receiving what he has to give us? Are we taking time, in the words of the psalmist, to be still and know that he is God? Are we listening to the word that he is speaking to us? Because Christ is the ground of our being. If we're not taking time to set our faces on him, focus our hearts and our minds on him, then every other aspect of our lives is going to be out of focus. Doing is important. As the Church of Jesus Christ, the people of God, we are called to do, to live and act in ways that bear witness to the kingdom of God, reflecting God's love and peace and justice to the world around us. It's like the letter of James says, if our faith is not lived out, if we cannot find an active expression of that in the world, then it is dead. There is plenty that as followers of Jesus Christ, we are called to do. But if we just do without taking the time to center ourselves on the one for whom we are doing, then how will we know what God wants us to do? What does it look like for us to sit at Christ's feet and focus our lives on him? To live under the rule and reign of Christ in this world. It means taking time to read Scripture. To live in the story of Jesus and get to know him through that story. It's taking time to pray. To talk with our Lord. It's taking time to worship. To remember that we are not the primary focus of life. That we're focusing our lives and faith on someone greater than us. It means taking time to listen to the voices and hear the stories of the poor and the oppressed in whom Jesus himself says he is present. When we hear them, truly hear them, we hear Christ. To live in the kingdom of God under the rule and reign of Christ means that we submit ourselves to Christ each day. Our hearts, our minds, our wills. How can this season of Lent help us to be more intentional about doing that? Jesus sets his face to go to Jerusalem. And it takes him the next 10 chapters to get there. Because things keep happening, and he keeps stopping. He stops to teach people. to listen to people, to perform miracles and heal people. On this journey to his death, a whole lot of life happens. And it happens in the interruptions, in the unexpected detours on his way to Jerusalem. We can't get so focused on the task or the goal that we forget to stop and be present with Christ and with the people around us. Because it is when Jesus' journey is interrupted that ministry takes place. People are healed and fed and forgiven. And so when our day-to-day journeys are interrupted, when we encounter those unexpected detours, how will we use them as opportunities to stop and sit at the feet of our Lord, receiving what he has to give us so that we can share it with others in his name? Amen. Living God, in the busyness of our journeys, help us to be still and know that you are God. Help us remember to take time to be with you and to be with each other, to learn, love, to eat together and sing together, to enjoy life together. And we set our faces on you, so that you are not only the goal and destination of our journey, but that we see you all around us every step of the way. We see you in the interruptions, the detours. Remind us what it looks like to be still, to sit at your feet and learn.